Chapter 7. Vince. Of a most unchivalrous duel with Axl Rose, a flower by any other name. Charisse was your average mud wrestler. Blonde hair, big tits, and a killer hard body. When the girls from the Tropicana came back to my house to wrestle for my friends, she was always the most vicious fighter. She won every time and looked good doing it. She was just my type. When we started going out, she stopped dancing. Instead, she developed a $20,000 a month purse habit. And instead of wrestling other chicks, she fought with me all the time. Sobriety may have been easy for the other guys, but I was being driven to drink every night. Before the Feel Good album came out, I called up some of my buddies and went whitewater rafting down Snake River in Idaho for 10 days. It was the best way I could think of to stay sober, away from Charisse, the telephone, the band, the bars. It was just sunshine, rapids, and exercise. As soon as we returned to civilization, I called Charisse and she was in tears. I was at the cat house, she sobbed, and Izzy was hitting on me. Izzy Stradlin? Yeah, he was all fucked up, and I told him to get his hands off me because I was your wife. Then he grabbed my shirt and pulled it down. That fucking asshole! But that's not even the bad part. I slapped him across the face, of course, and then he karate kicked me as hard as he could. In the stomach. He knocked the wind out of me. It really hurt, and everyone saw it. That little shit. The next time I see his motherfucking ass, I'm gonna fucking kill him. Oh yeah, I almost forgot, she added. Your album's number one. I don't think anyone had disrespected me like that since the bikers outside the whiskey hit on Beth and Lita so many years ago. But Izzy wasn't a biker. He was the guitarist in Guns N' Roses. I had taken that fucking band on tour as an opening act for a few of the girl shows when nobody believed in them. They were nice then. Axl was a shy, humble guy. It was a lot of fun to be with. But now they were starting to believe their own press clippings. And this guy, who was supposed to be my friend, was disrespecting my wife. Did you hear me? Your record's number one. Izzy had picked the wrong time to fuck with me. Because the MTV Video Music Awards were just weeks away at the Universal Amphitheater. At the show, I left the band waiting in their limos outside and hung around backstage while Guns N' Roses played with Tom Petty. When Izzy walked off stage, looking like a cross between Eric Stoltz and Mask and Neil Young, I was waiting for him. You fucking hit my wife! So fucking what? He spat. All my blood rushed into my fist and I decked him. I decked him good, right in the face. He fell to the ground like a tipped cow. Fred Saunders pinned my arms. The next time you fucking touch her, I'll fucking kill you. I yelled at Izzy's prone body as Fred dragged me away. I shook myself loose and we walked toward the door to make our escape. Before we reached the exit, Axl came snarling after us like an overdressed Doberman. Come on, motherfucker, I'm gonna fucking kill you, he yelled at our backs. I twirled around. His face was sweaty and twisted. Let's fucking go, I said to him. And I meant it. The blood was still pumping into my fists. He looked at me and squeaked like a little bitch. Just don't fuck with my band again, okay? And he walked away. Then, Axl suddenly launched a press campaign about me. If I was a record, he would have sold millions of copies of me. Every article I read, every time I turned on the TV, he was claiming that I'd sucker-punched Izzy and been insulting Guns N' Roses for years, and he pledged to put me in my place, which was 6 feet under the earth. It was like rock and roll had suddenly turned into the World Wrestling Federation. It was such a betrayal. I had every right to knock Izzy on his ass, and it was none of Axel's business. On the girls' tour, Axl would come to me when his throat hurt, and I'd show him the tricks I'd developed for singing after a night spent destroying my vocal cords. Now he was sending little messengers to me, with instructions to meet him in the parking lot of Tower Records on Sunset, or on the boardwalk of Venice Beach. Even though it was such a high school way of settling our differences, I showed up every time. Because the only thing that would have given me more pleasure than a number one album on the pop charts was breaking Axl Rose's nose. But Axl never showed. It finally got to the point that whenever he arranged a fight somewhere, I just sent some people to the spot to call me if and when he appeared. Maybe someone else would have just let it drop after Axl chickened out a good half dozen times, but I was pissed. He was in the press acting like he was king of the world. Saying that I couldn't fight and that he was a red belt and this and that. But in real life, he was too chicken shit to back up his word. So I finally went on MTV with a message for him. I said that if Axel wanted to fight me, that he should do it in front of the whole world. I proposed Monday night, fight night, at the Forum. We'd go 3 rounds, and then the world would see who the pussy was. I was ready to go. I didn't even care about Izzy anymore. I dealt with him. He even called and apologized for what he did to Charisse. As for Slash and Duff McKagan, we were friends through it all. They knew what an asshole Axel was. I wanted to beat the shit out of that little punk and shut him up for good. But I never heard from him. Not that day, not that month, not that year, not that century. But the offer still stands.